You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, I'm so thrilled about this program that we have and this snowy morning here in Chicago, because today what we're talking about is Advent and the beauty of Advent and how that ties in to the sanctity of every human life from the moment of conception and that great miracle. And we have a wonderful guest who's going to be with us for the hour on the program today, and that is Father Tad Boholchik, who is the Director of Education at the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia. He has a PhD in neuroscience from Yale University. Father Tad did his postdoctoral research at Massachusetts General Hospital, Harvard Medical School, and subsequently studied in Rome, where he did advanced studies in theology and bioethics, and he's a renowned speaker throughout the country, and we're going to be talking with Father Tad in the first half of the program today about these new advances in stem cell research and particularly how scientists are now ethically able to get stem cells that have the qualities of embryonic stem cells without killing human embryos, and what a tremendous advance this is. It's really exciting. And then for the second half of our program, we're going to have an Ask Father Tad kind of session. We're just going to throw open the phone lines and let you ask Father Tad any questions related to bioethics, whether that be concerning issues like, are you 486, contraception, artificial reproductive technologies. We've got the whole gamut of issues that we are opening to you, and you can see if you can stump the expert here today. But how does this relate to Advent as we're preparing our hearts for Christ's birth? Well, it's very closely related, because we're reminded, first of all, of the wisdom of the Church. Advent is a great opportunity to reflect on issues related to the sanctity of human life. And why is that? Because we're preparing our hearts for Christ's birth, and we remember that, in fact, Jesus himself was an unplanned pregnancy, my friends. You know, this is a special time of year to remember and to pray for women who are facing unexpected pregnancies. Imagine the situation of the Virgin Mary, through no fault of her own, certainly. She finds herself actually bestowed with this tremendous gift of God's Son in her womb, but she was not married. And in fact, her own fiancé had great questions about this and what this meant for the future of their relationship. Friends, imagine today how many women right now are going through a turmoil of an unexpected pregnancy, and let's pray that they choose life for that child, and let's do all that we can through supporting pregnancy resource centers, through education, to help people to choose life, whether it be then parenting themselves or placing that child for adoption, but letting those babies live. You know, in Cook County in 2005, 22,179 Cook County residents had abortions. Absolutely shocking. We need to do all that we can to respect life, to cherish life, especially during this Advent time when we are preparing our hearts for Christ's birth. And now, without further ado, friends, I want to welcome our guest, Father Tad Boholchik, the renowned neuroscientist and bioethicist. Father Tad, thanks so much for joining us on Life Talk today.
Great to be with you, Mary Louise. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a great blessing to have you. And friends, I know that many of you probably have a question or comment for Father Tad, and we're going to give you that phone number right now so you can get a jump on the competition, and that is 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And Mitch Streedle is actually in the studio today to take your questions and everything. So he's manning the phones along with Brian Brock, who is our very dynamic producer. So give us a call. And Father Tad, first of all, tell us where you're at. I know you travel all over the country speaking about these issues.
Yes, I'm currently in Norfolk, Virginia, and I'm doing a talk to a high school this afternoon, And then later on in the evening, I'll be speaking to the general public on stem cell research and human cloning.
That's great. That sounds terrific.
From here, I'll be heading to Michigan and doing 2 days of talks, a total of 4 talks. So there's a great deal of interest in this topic. And, you know, with this new development now, I think people are realizing just how many alternatives we really have that don't require us to involve ourselves in immoral paths of action.
Absolutely. And in fact, Father Ted, you're the master of the transition, because that's what we're talking about right now is this new breakthrough. And it was sort of, you might say, an early Christmas gift. I think it was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving was when this Wall Street Journal article crossed my desk, and then it really swept the country, this news that scientists have been able to find a way to reprogram ordinary skin cells into stem cells that have the qualities of embryonic stem cells. Tell us a little bit about this breakthrough, first of all. I mean, a lot of people out there are thinking, hey, I don't even know what a stem cell is. So could you kind of give us a little bit of a crash course on this?
Yeah, the issue here is that scientists are very interested in cells that come from very early human embryos, because those cells are very flexible. And their flexibility means that they are important in building the entire organism, the entire animal, if you will. So how does a mouse put itself together? Well, it does that by using these special class of cells that are called stem cells. So what is hoped here is that if we can sort of understand how stem cells do what they do, how it is that they are so flexible, that maybe they could even eventually be channeled into a therapeutic direction and used to treat patients who are sick with different kinds of diseases. So the issue here is a stem cell is basically a highly flexible cell, and it's a cell that hasn't made up its mind yet exactly what it's going to become. So it could become kidney, it could become lung, it could become muscle, nerve, stomach, whatever the case might be. So what this new discovery has made clear is that these very, very flexible, or to use the technical term, pluripotent stem cells don't just come from early embryos. There turns out that there's another way you can get them. And as you mentioned, these are, you start with regular old garden variety skin cells.
garden variety skin cells. I like that, Father Ted. You make this so accessible for people. I like it. Garden variety skin cells, okay?
Yeah, so straightforward here. You know, there's nothing really very, very lofty behind this. And I think they used, in fact, a piece of skin from the face of somebody for one of the experiments in these papers that were published. And so you start with those skin cells, and all you have to do is introduce 4 genes. And those 4 genes kind of trigger the cell to turn itself into a stem cell. And this is this has been considered, you know, a highly desirable kind of goal. It's a goal that people have been working on for quite a while, sort of a holy grail, if you will. And some people are referring to this as a kind of biological alchemy. You know, it's like turning lead into gold. That kind of thing.
I like it. And Father Ted, there's been so much excitement. You know, you have been on the ground floor of... Oh, and we need to actually head to a break, unfortunately, here. So, when we return from the break, Father Ted, what I'd like you to address is why the scientific community is responding so wonderfully to this versus when we were talking about, hey, use adult stem cells, for which, you know, there are already treatments and cures to more than 90 different diseases and anomalies. Use those instead of embryonic. The scientific community, many people were ignoring that. But with this now, they've really jumped on board. And why is that? So friends, we're going to head to a break. We're talking with Father Ted Poholchik, the renowned Harvard-educated neuroscientist from the National Catholic Bioethics Center, about stem cell research. And give us a call. We welcome your questions and comments. 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty and make Chicagoland a better place to live.
Our organization conducted a summer academic camp on Chicago's South Side to keep kids safe, off the streets, and help them succeed in school.
Thanks to our efforts, the EPA is cleaning up industrial pollution that is threatening residents and scores of homes in Little Village.
We have been fighting to keep a well-respected nursing home open in Lake County.
We teach homeless women a useful craft, pay them a living wage, and offer them transitional housing if needed.
Those are just a few examples of the wonderful work being done by the more than 20 local organizations funded by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Let's break the cycle of poverty and make Chicago and the suburbs a better place to live.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
And welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And friends, we have a fantastic guest today. We're talking about such interesting issues of stem cell research and this new technique that scientists have discovered, transforming ordinary, as Father Tad said, garden variety skin cells into stem cells that have the properties, really, of embryonic stem cells. And Father Tad Boholczyk, we're so excited to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit now about the scientific community's response to this great breakthrough in what some people have called reprogramming of these skin cells into having the qualities of embryonic stem cells.
Well, the reaction, I would say, has been one that they have been very much taken with this discovery. People immediately see the implications. One implication is that you can make theoretically a customized stem cell line for an individual person. If you start with my skin cells, you will end up with stem cells that will be immune matched to me and could be put into my body, and my body would not reject them. And that's not true when you're talking about using a random embryo out of the deep freeze, which is what, you know, everybody has been talking about. Mm-hmm. They've been saying, give us the abandoned embryos, the ones that are going to be, quote-unquote, thrown away anyway, although there's a whole mythology around that. And if you use those cells from the random embryos, they would be rejected if they were put into my body or yours.
Mm-hmm.
So the scientists see all of these kinds of consequences, and they're saying, this is a very positive development. Now, it's still at its very early stages, because in order to get those genes that I was telling you about inside the skin cells, you do have to use some viruses that force these genes to go in and to become a part of the DNA of those cells. And this has effects that they're not sure about yet. You obviously, if you were going to use these cells in humans, which they're not doing yet, you would have to put those genes in without any viruses, because you don't want to be introducing viruses into people's bodies.
Right.
So there's a lot of technical stuff like that that the scientists are saying, well, you know, let's be cautious here, let's not overstate the claim. But on the other hand, there's a palpable sense of excitement on their part.
Mm-hmm. And it's, why do you think the response has been so different from what we've been saying for a while is, hey, you don't need embryonic, you don't need to kill human embryos. Let's not kill innocent human beings for, you know, the possibility of some scientific advance at some point in the distant future. But instead, let's focus on adult stem cell research using cells from bone marrow or, you know, things like that. And the scientific community, many people have rejected that in the past for whatever reasons. But with this now, there's a new kind of excitement. You know, Jamie Thompson himself, I understand, is saying from the University of Wisconsin that he's going to abandon embryonic stem cell research and focus on this. Or maybe that was Ian Wilmot who cloned Dolly the sheep, actually. But tell us a little bit about the response of the scientific community and why it's different this time.
Well, I mean, it's an amazing thing because you mentioned the names of two pioneers, if you will, in this entire field, Ian Wilmot, who cloned Dolly the sheep, and Dr. Jamie Thompson, who was the first person to ever get stem cells out of human embryos. And they've both indicated a kind of willingness to alter their approach to things. Ian Wilmot has said, you know, I'm not going to go down the path of trying to do human therapeutic cloning. I'm not going to try to make human embryos by cloning because, you know, to him, he said, this looks like too much work. It's too unlikely, you know, not likely to work. And this other approach of dedifferentiation or reprogramming looks much more promising. And Dr. Thompson, his lab actually was one of the two labs that published these papers. Mm-hmm. So to think that the person who discovered it has gone full circle and is now doing a completely alternative technology in his own laboratory, which doesn't require the destruction of human embryos, is great. And he, at one point, made a comment. He said, 10 years of turmoil and now this nice ending. These 10 years of turmoil, I think he's felt it. Many of the scientists have. The ethical controversy that has swirled around them, it takes its toll on them. Mm-hmm. And they realize that there are good reasons, in fact, for considering the alternatives very seriously.
We're talking with Father Tad Poholchik from the National Catholic Bioethics Center, the renowned neuroscientist and bioethicist. And I'm sure, friends, that some of you have a question or a comment about this whole discussion of stem cell research, and we welcome that. Maybe you're on board. Maybe you say, hey, this is so exciting. But maybe you're thinking, hey, you know what? We still need to continue with embryonic stem cell research. Maybe you have a different perspective. We welcome your questions and comments, whether they be controversial, whether they be more probing, challenging. We want to get some conversation going here. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. So, Father Ted, some scientists then, speaking of controversy, have said, hey, you know, even though there's this advance, we're still going to continue cloning human beings. In fact, I think it was... In fact, Father Ted, not to have a personal dig, but I think one of the scientists at Harvard said that, actually. Is that right? And what do you think about that response?
Well, there are a number of scientists who have already tried to kind of stake out certain territory and say, even in the face of an advance like this, all avenues need to go forward. All avenues have to continue. And that's, you know, a very common sentiment in science. It's driven by something that we call the scientific imperative, which is this view that science should be kind of self-regulating, should be autonomous. Nobody should step in and tell us how to do our science. If we want to do science a certain way, you know, leave us alone. Trust us. We're good guys. It's that kind of, you know, general attitude.
And I think that's what, like, you know, people who, well, you know, we hear that in a lot of different industries, and I think it's usually followed up by corruption.
Right. I mean, if a businessman was to say that to you, you know, just trust me to run everything and don't talk to me about ethics, everybody would say, well, but of course business needs ethics. Otherwise, people start cheating on the stock market and, you know, insider trading and all these other things. The human tendency is to look for those shortcuts. And scientists, even though they're held on a pedestal in our society, they are very human beings like the rest of us. And that fact often, you know, gets sort of blurred, if you will, in these discussions. So, I think that that scientific imperative is driving a lot of this. The scientists just say, let us go ahead, and we will deliver, wonderful cures and wonderful advances. Now, the issue here, though, is that we do regulate science all the time, and we should regulate science. It makes a lot of sense to regulate it precisely because it is such a powerful entity and enterprise in our midst. So we don't allow, you know, nuclear research to happen in just any old laboratory, and germ warfare studies, same thing. We have all kinds of limitations on how federal money gets handed out by the government. So this idea is just it's a bankrupt idea that the scientific imperative should run things. Science must be ethical. And this area in particular, because it touches on the genesis of new human life,
yes,
the coming into the world of new human beings, this is the most important area for us to be certain that our scientists get it right.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're talking with Father Ted Poholchik of the National Catholic Bioethics Center. We're going to head to a break, friends, and when we come back, more with Father Ted. We have one more segment on this particular issue of stem cell research, and give us a call with a question or comment. Maybe you have a friend who, for example, has some kind of anomaly or wondering how stem cell research might be able to address that. Father Ted has the answers. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Knapp. Weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And today we're discussing stem cell research with Father Ted Poholchik, the renowned neuroscientist, Harvard and Yale educated, who is now with the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And not surprisingly, Father Ted is actually in some city in the United States right now preparing for several presentations. But right now we're blessed because he's on the show and he's sharing his wisdom with us on stem cell research. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. I'm getting confused here. And, you know, for good reason, because today in the studio with me, friends, I'm very excited. This is a first for me. I have my parents, Tom and Carol Curry, here in the studio with me. So they're here. They're just listening in. They said they don't want to say anything on the air, which that surprised me because usually they're never at a lack for words, but they're but it's great to have Mom and Dad here with me, who are great activists in the pro-life movement in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and they just do tremendous work, and you know, really who I am today is because of them. So thanks, Mom and Dad, and it's such a blessing to have them here with me in the studio today. So Father Ted, before we went to the break, you're talking about the amazing response of the scientific community immunity to this reprogramming of skin cells to take on the qualities of embryonic stem cells. And even Jamie Thompson, who was very involved in human embryonic stem cell research in its very beginning stages, now saying what a great conclusion this is. We sort of see that in a way God is the Lord of everything, that science affirms our faith. And what do you think about that? I mean, you're somebody who I think has, you might say, genius qualities. You're a really brilliant person.
I don't know about that.
but you know, many people in society think, hey, science opposes faith. But in fact, we see that, I believe, we see so many times that science affirms faith.
Absolutely. Science and faith cannot be at any kind of odds with each other. If it appears that they are, it's because one of the two has overstepped their bounds. You may have scientists who are trying to make religious pronouncements, or you may have religion trying to speak outside of its own proper expertise and trying to pronounce about scientific particulars. And whenever that happens, then you have these apparent conflicts. But God is the author of everything, and he has made both science and the reality of religion and faith for man, both of which are intended to serve the good of man. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder to us that, you know, if we choose to take moral concerns seriously, God tends to throw open some new doors for us.
Mm.
And we see that in this development, that if we're willing to step away from the temptation of destroying embryos with our own hands, rather respecting them and making sure that they're not used in this way,
mm-hmm.
then other approaches, through a little bit of elbow grease and scientific cleverness, are likely to come to the fore.
Yes. Yes. And Father Chad, I remember in particular, when I heard about this breakthrough, it was funny because my husband, Brian, was like, hey, what's the big deal? Father Chad's been talking about this for years. Because in your presentation, you would talk about how there was in the works some work on de-differentiation, and that is really what this breakthrough is, right?
That's correct. Yes, this is something that does have a little bit of history behind it. There was a lot of work that was done originally in mice, and people were watching this. And when it was announced in mice, there was a Japanese group that kind of led the charge, if you will. People said, well, you know, that's great. You can do it in mice. We're glad to hear that, but will it work in humans? And that's mm-hmm. what everybody was kind of holding their breath about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the breakthrough indicated was real. We can do it in humans, and this, you know, is clearly going to be a significant new direction for the future of stem cell research.
Absolutely. I remember when you were speaking at Northwestern University Medical School, and that was through our college outreach program of the Respect Life Office that we were able to bring you into that venue.
Yes, and I remember. That was a great gathering that we had.
It was, and there was a huge, huge turnout of medical students. I think we had maybe 70 or 80 medical students, which is great for a presentation during the day that's outside of their required classes and everything.
It was indeed a great turnout and very, you know, interested in terms of asking questions and following up afterwards.
Oh, that's terrific. And you know, what I remember in particular was one student, you were talking about this de-differentiation technique, and one student said, hey, why are these researchers killing all these human embryos when, in fact, they could be focusing on de-differentiation, which is totally ethical and would have a great advance in terms of not having these problems of, you know, rejection because, you know, these stem cells then have the genes of another human being, basically. And that kid really had a lot of insights.
Absolutely. I think he saw right into it. And I think that it sort of touches on the central question, which is how much attention do scientists give to the ethical concerns?
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who have been very articulate and outspoken in saying, we don't give one whit about the ethics. You know, it simply doesn't interest us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very sad situation when science begins to degenerate in that way and people just think of themselves as completely autonomous and able to do whatever they would like to. But when ethics matters, then that sentiment of the medical student that you described is an important one, that people realize, hey, we've got something we can work with here. We need to safeguard certain things. We need to do our science in the right way. And that means we need to look at these wonderful alternative technologies. And, you know, there are other alternative technologies out there besides this reprogramming. You may recall during that same talk at Northwestern that I mentioned you can also get a variety of embryonic type stem cell from a fetus that may have died from a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And under those conditions, if there were spontaneous loss of the pregnancy and the parents gave permission, you could use those stem cells
mm-hmm.
From the deceased child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another direction that some people are working on. So there are alternative approaches to getting these very flexible or pluripotent type stem cells.
Mm. And how wonderful that science we see just affirms our faith and that, you know, the Lord, as you said, is the Lord of everything, including science and research. And you know, we have free will. But when we follow God's way of respecting human life, that every human life is a gift, you know, he provides the answers. Praise God.
Praise God for that. And indeed, to realize, too, how science itself is meant to be a great gift to us, a
mm-hmm.
gift that, you know, carries a certain amount of responsibility, but definitely a gift for all of mankind.
Absolutely. We need to head to another break. And friends, as we start the second half of the hour, we'll have more with Father Tad Poholchik. We're going to be doing Ask Father Tad. See if you can stump this Yale and Harvard-educated neuroscientist on a range of bioethics questions. And also, as we begin the second half of the show, I'm going to be sharing with you Cardinal George's beautiful statement on the death of Representative Henry Hyde, who had a great legacy for protecting human life, great congressman here in Illinois. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
We ask people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever, a great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, "You rock."
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Life Talk. Happy Advent and a blessed Advent to all of you out there, friends. This is Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And today we're talking with Father Tad Poholchik, the renowned neuroscientist from the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Our first half of the show, we were chatting about stem cell research and these new wonderful ethical advances to derive embryonic-like stem cells from skin cells. And now in this half hour, friends, we're doing a kind of Ask Father Tad, where we're throwing up and open the phone lines. We welcome your questions on any bioethical issue. You know, so give us a call, whether it be on abortion, euthanasia, end-of-life care. Father Tad is here, and he's got the answer. So give us a call. Maybe it's a specific question about something that your family or you are facing, maybe related to infertility or artificial reproductive technologies or care for somebody who is terminally ill, whatever that might be, we welcome your questions and comments. 312-751-1979. 312-751-1979. And before we get into that, friends, just a few quick things to talk about. First of all, very important, this Saturday is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is a holy day of obligation. And I encourage you to check out the Archdiocesan website, because since this falls on the Saturday, it's a little bit complicated, friends. What does this mean? Well, first of all, this is a major date, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, when we recognize that Mary was conceived without sin. What a great miracle. Miraculous, right? And so we need to go to Mass. It's a holy day of obligation. However, Saturday evening Mass counts for Sunday. So this means that we've got to go to Mass Friday night or Saturday in the morning or early afternoon, as well as then on Sunday. So you could go Friday night and Saturday night, for example. You could go Saturday morning and Saturday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Check out the Archdiocesan website if you're confused or want more information. That's www.archchicago.org. Again, www.archchicago.org. Remember, this Saturday, December 8th, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the Solemnity, actually, of the Immaculate Conception. Also, as you know, Illinois Congressman Henry Hyde recently passed away, and I'm sure that those of you who are involved in the pro-life movement know the great legacy of life that Congressman Hyde left. He was renowned in particular for the Hyde Amendment. It was the first major restriction on abortion in the United States, saying that no federal funding, again, friends. So this means your and my taxpayer dollars would not be used for performing abortions. And that has saved, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of lives across our country, I'm sure, because so often women, you know, women or couples facing a crisis pregnancy, they just have a knee-jerk reaction. They're in a panic moment frequently, and they feel that they need to have an abortion in order to continue with their lives and their dreams and their plans, which we know is not necessary. I mean, there's so many people out there who would love to adopt that child or who would love to reach out and help that woman or that couple to parent and give them resources that they need. But you know, this Hyde Amendment went a long way in preventing that knee-jerk reaction, saving lives. Cardinal George put a beautiful statement out last week, which is on the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org. And part of what he said was he quoted a speech that Henry Hyde gave. And this is what Henry Hyde said. He said, "When the time comes, as it surely will, when we face that terrible moment, the final judgment, I've often thought, as Fulton Sheen wrote, that it is a terrible moment of loneliness. You have no advocates there. You are there alone, standing before God, and a terror will rip through your soul like nothing you can imagine. But I really think," this is the part that always brings tears to my eyes, friends, "I really think that those in the pro-life movement will not be alone. I think there will be a chorus of voices that have never been heard in this world, but are heard very beautifully and very loudly in the next world. And I think they will plead for everyone who has been in the movement. They will say to God, 'Spare them, because they loved us.' And God will look at us and say not, 'Did you succeed?' but 'Did you try?'" Very powerful words. So I know that when I pass away, I'm going to need a lot of help and divine intervention. And I'm hoping that some of those babies will be there interceding on my behalf. And I know that many of you feel the same way as well, friends. And we appreciate all you do for the gospel of life. So, Father Tad Poholchik, we're thrilled to have you on the show. This is our Ask Father Tad session. And Father Tad, we've got a call, actually. So let's head right to the phones.
All right. Sounds great.
Okay. So Joe from Evanston is on the phone right now. Joe, thanks so much for calling Life Talk today. You're live on the air.
Thanks, Mary Louise, and hi, Father Tad.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, we at Northwestern have a religion and science working group here on the Evanston campus, and we're one of the things that they're looking forward
That's
to.
That's terrific, by the way. That in itself is a victory.
Well, it's a tough road with, you have a lot of atheists trying to push things like Dawkins and whatnot and so forth, and trying to get to the bottom of their maybe epistemological problems with God and so forth. But one of the things that's coming up, and it's maybe something that you at the Bioethics Center may be we're thinking about for next year, it's the sesquicentennial of Darwin on February the 9th, which is also the birth date of Abraham Lincoln. And of course, and also it's I think it's the bicentennial for the birth and sesquicentennial for origin of species. So I don't know whether in your writings, Father Ted, or in speaking, given this opportunity, how can we capitalize on that to sort of bring the culture of life into the dialogue with the public and also in the medical school students, which was wonderful. You had that opportunity, and one of the people at the med school who is a bioethicist is sort of in our working group, and it's sometimes it's a little bit heated in our exchanges, as you might know what I mean. Could you give us some idea maybe how we could capitalize on this opportunity with perhaps with your work and also Mary Louise as well?
Yeah, I mean, the question of sort of putting together public events and taking advantage of certain significant dates, like you're mentioning the sesquicentennial of Darwin, those are certainly opportunities, and I think especially in academic environments that we can do quite a bit if we can put together exchanges that do bring some greater measure of balance to some of these questions, because so often, both in the arena of bioethics and in some of these other, you know, lateral areas like evolution and so on, there tends to be a very one-sided narrative. And to be able to just give people the sense that, no, it's not reducible to such oversimplified terms. There's actually much more nuance here. There's much more going on. You know, that's the beauty of a breakthrough like the one we've been discussing. It sort of suddenly changes the playing field and makes people realize, you know, hey, this narrow worldview that I have been hearing about through the media, which has been a relentless drumbeat to go after little embryos in order to get their stem cells, maybe that narrative has some profound difficulties with it, and maybe there are even some very viable alternatives. You know, to have the scales fall off of people's eyes by those kinds of efforts is tremendously important. I mean, this is part of the bigger culture wars that we are engaged in here, and I think it's important to always have a sense of the power, the raw power of ideas. And we need to be, you know, engaged in that whole arena.
That's great. Thank you so much, Joe, for your phone call. And Father Ted, we need to head to a quick break here, but let's again put that number out there, 312-751-1979. You know, I know that many people have questions even about issues like Plan B and the Catholic hospitals and things like this. There are some confusing issues. Father Ted has some great answers. Give us a call for Ask Father Ted. Father Ted Poholchik, neuroscientist from the National Catholic Bioethics Center, 312-751-1979. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Welcome to Mission Chicago 2007 as we celebrate the theme of spirituality. Evening missions are taking place throughout the Archdiocese in both English and Spanish. Spirituality themes include the meaning of being created in the image and likeness of God, exploring our potential for growth in Christ, and the spirituality of African American music and song. These are single evening missions, and there is no cost. Find out when and where by going to www.missionchicago.net. That's www.missionchicago.net. It's Mission Chicago 2007, the year of spirituality. Accept this mission. The rewards are everlasting.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office at the Archdiocese of Chicago. We're talking with Father Tad Poholchik, the renowned neuroscientist, Harvard and Yale educated, who is with the National Catholic Bioethics Center. Father Tad has been featured on CNN, PBS, all sorts of national and even international programs discussing bioethics issues. And friends, we welcome your questions and your comments at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And Father Tad, you know, our last caller was talking about this kind of anniversary of some significant dates of Darwin coming up in February. Father Tad, you know, some people are a little bit confused about the issue of evolution, actually, and where the faith stands on that. Could you give us just maybe kind of a 30-second kind of thumbnail sketch? Because I know that many people do find it to be a confusing issue.
Yeah, the issue there is that if one is attempting to describe the genesis of new species and especially the origin of man in terms that are purely materialistic, one is going to invariably leave out a significant part of the reality that's under discussion. I mean, mm-hmm. humans are spiritual beings, and there's a whole other aspect to this that so often gets sidelined mm-hmm. in an attempt to make this a purely kind of physicalistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, there is a clear recognition that we are animals, and we are members of the animal kingdom, so that there may be certain kinds of evolutionary processes and forces that have forced and constrained the outcome in such a way that, affect who we are, and to, in effect, those forces and processes have been playing out over long periods of history, so that we could, in the end, come and be on the scene in the particular form that we have right now. So, in other words, evolution, as at part of a bigger explanatory view of things, is not fundamentally in tension mm-hmm. with Catholicism
mm-hmm.
insofar as it doesn't try to describe man completely. It only describes this part of man insofar as he is an animal who has a body, and that body has origins mm-hmm. that may have connections to, you know, many events over the distant past. But his spiritual nature and essence are not captured by that kind of very focalized and limited discussion.
Great, great. Thank you so much, Father Tad. I know that when I was in college, I remember I was in a class and I felt a little shaken up. Oh, you know, what's happening here? Because, you know, the professor was trying to impose on the students that, you know, because evolution might have occurred, it kind of shows there's no God and things like this.
And
that
I think
really,
it's quite the opposite in
right,
the sense that if
right.
all of this has happened and
right.
there's a kind of order to it, doesn't it mean that, you know, God is the master of all of this? And he even used all these forces, these intermediary forces,
mm-hmm.
to bring us into existence through a very long chain of causal events.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more glorious that God could foresee that. He could set up the universe with all the kinds of limitations and physical constraints and laws of physics and so on that would assure that there would be this kind of an outcome. And ultimately, so that even his own son could become one of us, could become man. That's the supreme miracle at the end of all of this.
Amen. Amen. Father Tad, you're fantastic. We actually have several calls lined up, but we are going to head to our final break here. And going into the break, by the way, there's a PSA on the March for Life pilgrimage coming up, friends. I want to invite all of you to join us. The deadline to sign up is December 14th. Go to www.archchicago.org to find out more, or you can call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355, especially if you have teens. It's going to be a phenomenal experience. experience. We have a private gathering with Cardinal George, a private gathering with Father Frank Pavone. So we're going to head to a break right now, and we're going to be back then with more with Father Tad Boholchik here on Life Talk. If my mom said no to life, I wouldn't be here.
I march because I'm a survivor.
I just want to stand up for all the children who don't have a voice of their own.
I march because they can't.
I march for change.
Join hundreds of thousands in Washington, D.C. this January at the annual March for Life. The Archdiocese of Chicago's Respect Life Office is hosting its fifth annual youth pilgrimage, a four-day trip open to people of all ages. For more information or to register, call 312-751-5355 or check out the Respect Life Office at www.archchicago.org. The registration deadline is December 14th, so act fast and join your voice to the cause for life. Call 312-751-5355 today.
I march.
I march.
I march because if I don't, who will?
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
We're back on Life Talk with Father Tad Boholchik, the Director of Education for the National Catholic Bioethics Center. He's a renowned neuroscientist, and we're doing this Ask Father Tad. We've thrown open the phone lines, friends, welcoming your questions on bioethics. We've only got this final segment left. If you want to ask a question, call us right now, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. And we're going to go to the phones here. We have Dennis from Oak Park. Dennis, thanks so much for calling Life Talk today.
Hi, thank you, Mary Louise. Father Tad, thanks so much for all you do. I'm a big fan of all your work. And Mary Louise, I'm a big fan of the show. Never miss it. And
Well, thank you, Dennis.
And Father Tad, I had a quick question for you. Recently, I was watching television and heard a well-known celebrity give an interview. And he's a big advocate of embryonic stem cell research. And he didn't want to throw out embryonic stem cell research with this new breakthrough quite yet. And my question is, what do we need to do, what do we need to show these people that there is not a need for that sort of research, that the new breakthrough does work, and that basically that that death is no longer an option, that they don't have to, fantasize that this embryonic stem cell research is going to save millions and millions of lives. We all know that it isn't, that it's a kind of a facade, and what do we need to show them? What do we need to prove to them to finally get them over that hill of that culture of death mentality?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It's one is really looking for some way to make the clearest case, and I think that there's a two-pronged approach here. The most important point that I think has to be conveyed, and this is the harder point of the two, is the reality of the moral concerns, that even if you have, you know, very good things that might be forthcoming, you can't use evil means. And this is something mm-hmm. that if people pause and think about it, they can begin to understand it. But there's a resistance to that. And we need to remind people about some of the things that have happened in the past, in history, things that have happened in Germany, things that have happened in this country where there were experiments that were done on patients who didn't consent, and that kind of thing, to remind them that medicine has to have limits. Now, what's the second prong, the second part of the approach? Well, it's a very practical aspect, that you have these people who come to you who themselves may have very serious diseases and wanting a cure so badly that they are almost willing to do anything. What we need to do in those cases is to point out, first, that the embryonic stem cell research is still very much of a speculative proposal, there aren't any human treatments available yet, not even a single one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have many years of work before any are likely to become available. And that the morally acceptable variety of stem cell research called adult stem cell research is already expanding very rapidly in the number of treatments that it is making available to sick patients. So pushing that practical kind of reality check on mm-hmm. people, I think, is important to help them begin to reprocess the question and mm-hmm. sort of level the playing field for them.
Great. Thank you, Father Ted. And Dennis, thanks so much for your call. Father Ted, we have another call. Actually, Carol is on the line. Carol, thanks so much for calling into Life Talk today.
Good morning, Mary Louise, and good morning, Father Ted. I'm really proud of all the work that you do.
Thank
Mary
you.
Louise, you miss you there. Respect the light banquet.
Oh, thank you.
Anyways, I have four daughters, ages 18, 12, 10, and 5. And how do I explain to them in simple terms, like, how the use of contraceptives and abortion predispose one to breast cancer?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a great news about, there was great topic that was, that I heard over at EWTN. It's something to do with the hormones, and it was really great, but how do I, put it in simple terms?
Great question. Father Ted, the abortion breast cancer link. Carol, thanks so much for that question.
Yeah, thank you, Carol. How to explain this is a tricky question in one sense, and there is some debate and dispute around it, but there is some very solid work that has been done in the arena of especially the abortion breast cancer link. And Dr. Joel Brind has been somebody who has been pushing this very, very strongly. And if you're interested in kind of the more scientific details of that, you should do a Google search with his name, Joel Brind, and you can find a lot of resources. But I think, in terms of kind of explaining it to daughters and to others who are not familiar with it, that we have to just bring it down a few notches and point out that there is a correlation here, that this is a risky kind of behavior that, has these potential consequences. Now, the other angle, though, I think, again, there's always a kind of functional push. We tend to say to people, well, look at the bad consequences, and we try to argue for morality from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets us a certain distance, but I think here also with contraception, people need to understand what's at the root of that question, and that is that you're saying, I'm going to love my spouse, for example, love my wife completely, because that's what sexuality is all about, except for a certain part of her. That certain part of her that I'm not going to love
mm-hmm.
is her fertility, and mm-hmm. I'm going to separate that, I'm going to put it to the side, I'm going to cordon it off, and I'm going to use contraception. So then what happens? Well, it becomes a kind of selfish self-gratification. I don't love my wife totally. I don't give myself completely to her when I use contraception. And when people begin to think about that, even younger people, they can begin to see that contraception is speaking a kind of lie,
mm-hmm.
a false language. And I think that's what we need to help our young people begin to understand, that sex is such a sacred action,
mm-hmm.
And it can't be trivialized and demeaned by adverting to condoms and pills and all these other things that violate the very language of what it is that you're doing as a human action.
Yeah, Father Ted, one of the things that I like to think about, too, is as a woman that contraception is saying that I, as a woman, have to change an intrinsic part of my identity, which is the gift of my fertility, in order to be acceptable to my husband. That's
absolutely
what contraception is saying. And
that's a great point, Mary Louise.
And you know what, Father Ted? Unfortunately, we have to head off the air, actually, with that note. We have some other callers, but we just don't have time to get to them. But Father Ted Boholczyk, you've been such a blessing. Thank you so much for being with us on Life Talk today.
Well, great to be with you, Mary Louise, and I hope we can do it again sometime, God willing.
I hope so, too. I'm sure that we'll be able to. Thank you so much, Father Ted, and I hope that you have a Merry Christmas as well as a blessed Advent.
Well, thank you, and same to you, and God bless you.
Great. And friends, thanks so much for listening to Life Talk today. Our guest was Father Ted Boholczyk of the National Catholic Bioethics Center. And if you want to check out Father Ted's column, Making Sense Out of Bioethics, bioethics, you can go to www.ncbcenter.org. Again, that's www.ncbcenter.org. If you have questions about any of these topics or want to know how to bring these alive to your parish, call the Respect Life office, 312-751-5355. Thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk today. I hope that you and your family have a very blessed Advent and a very Merry Christmas. God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.